The scripture reading today is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9, the Shema, which is the central declaration of faith in the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk to them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The word of the God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand as you're comfortable for the reading of the gospel. Our reading today is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. You did it to me. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me." This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
When I say life is better, and you say together, can you try it? Life is better. Amen. This morning, we are truly happy and grateful that we have welcomed 5 brothers and 2 sisters in Christ as new members. It was a wonderful welcoming celebration. Welcome James Heron and Brent Levine. You'll get to know them later better. Welcome Stephen and Frederica Turkson. And welcome Jeff Benedict, Madeline, and Doug Robinson. Did I miss anybody else? Okay. So we got everybody. Welcome home, our new church family members. And thanks to the congregation for embracing them and welcoming them into the congregation. Every time we welcome new members, the celebration is not only a delightful entrance for the new members into the membership, but also a truly meaningful opportunity for the whole congregation to reaffirm and renew your membership covenant as well. Yes, throughout the celebration, we also remember who we are and whose we are. Since last year's All Saints Sunday, we have lost 8 members due to death. Nevertheless, we are grateful that this morning we have received 7 new members. Plus, on Easter Sunday, we welcomed 8 new members, including 4 youth confirmations. Also, 3 children were baptized. So this year, so far, we received a total of 18 new members. They are 15 professing members and 3 baptized members. Therefore, this year, after deducting the number of those members who passed away, we have indeed gained 7 new members, 7 professing members so far, and hopefully more to come, more to come. And we are grateful to God. Congratulations to all the new members and to the whole congregation for being a growing and thriving church. Please keep up the good work so that we can fill up this sanctuary with God's joyful people. Amen? Amen. You said it, amen, okay. Being alive in Christ, we are called to grow and thrive by bearing abundant fruit, not only numerically, but also spiritually. This morning, my sermon title is Cultivating a Stronger Community as part 4 of 5 of my sermon series, Life is Better Together. I'm sure everyone in the congregation loves to belong to a loving, growing, and thriving congregation, right? Raise your hand if you want this congregation to become declining, dying, and eventually shutting down, just like one of those closing churches. Raise your hand. Okay, none. That's good. According to one of the most recent reports on statistics, roughly between 4,000 and 7,000 churches have been closing every year in the United States. It's like between 10 and 15 churches are closing every single day. What a sad reality it is. Recently, it was known that there might be certain factors contributing to closures. For example, declining attendance, COVID-19 pandemic, rising cost, such as the insurance for church property. They are like this bit, you know, high. And the insurance for church property and everything else, younger generations are less connected to traditional church attendance, and many more other factors. Nevertheless, we cannot and should not blame any negative trend, rapidly changing circumstances, or any other excuses or reasons. More than ever, we, the church, are called to cultivate a stronger community of faith and love so that we can continue to share God's love in the community and can make impact to the world. Of course, there could be many ways, venues, and means of growth and development, for example, through worship, music, discipleship, education, stewardship, and many more other areas. Each and every specialized area is important, essential, and connected with the church's missions and ministries. This morning, I'd like to focus on only 3 areas of a ministry out of many in cultivating a stronger community. Simply, I'd like to share with you an acronym NOW, N-O-W. It's easy to remember and to keep that in mind. NOW, right? N-O-W. N stands for nurture. O stands for outreach. And W stands for welcome. Number one, nurture. Nurturing is important in the church setting because it is central to spiritual growth, discipleship, and building a supportive Christ-like community. Nurturing guides us to grow in Christ towards Christian maturity. So, what is the source of your nurturing? We Christians have the Holy Bible that includes both Old and New Testament. The Bible is the primary source of our faith in God and in Christ. Both testaments are important, and both can shape and reshape our faith in many inspiring ways throughout our lives. One of the most important passages of the Old Testament, also known as the Hebrew Bible, is the Shema that we have shared this morning's Deuteronomy text. What is the Shema? It's from the very first word, hear. In Hebrew language, it is Shema. The Shema is written in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Yes, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Then in verse 5, commands us how to love God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your might. Then further instructions indicate how much it is important for believers to love God. I'm sure you've read and heard about this repeating phrase over and over again throughout the Old Testament, and it is also quoted in the Gospels multiple times as well. Apostle Paul urges all believers to nurture themselves and to one another with spiritual milk, which refers to God's word. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. We are pleased to hear that starting October, our Children's Ministry and Christian Education Committee will engage in a Bible exploration program for our children during Sunday school. Our children need to be exposed into God's love and be nurtured with the Bible. And upon their completion of the course, they will be presented with brand new Bibles. Nurturing is absolutely necessary regardless of ages. We adults are lifelong students of the Bible. Not just adults, everybody. We should never stop learning the Bible. Think of us as those trees planted by the streams of water that symbolizes God's word. In the very first psalm, the psalmist sings, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prosper. Of course, nurturing can be done through listening to pastor's sermons, right? I know you are very listening to me carefully and seriously. Thank you. Yes, I try doing my best in preparing for my quality and meaningful sermons every single Sunday. However, each Sunday, in reality, about 15 to 20 minutes of a weekly sermon might not be enough for you to be nurtured fully. Of course, the Bible reading challenge might be one of the good ways of nurturing ourselves with God's word constantly. Yes, you've got to know the Bible most of all, but it takes your self-discipline and self-motivation. And if you can commit yourself to a group Bible study, that would be a great opportunity. You must, one more slide. You must intentionally develop your own ways of nurturing yourself with the Bible and other study tools and resources daily and weekly basis. Yes, attending an ongoing and seasonal Bible studies would be one of the best ways for you to be nurtured in terms of not only engaging in in-depth study, but also enjoying a fellowship with other fellow Christians. Yes, it's an opportunity for koinonia. Remember koinonia word? So in order to help our church a stronger community, one of my visions is to nurture the congregation with God's word through a small group Bible study project. So my first phase is to recruit Bible study leaders. Bible studies cannot be expected always to be led by a clergy. I am just one person, but if I recruit more leaders from the laity, right, and they can lead small groups, that would be amazing. A growing and thriving church needs to train a few good women and men to become good Bible study leaders through small groups. So I'm looking for those who are willing to serve as Bible study leaders for our church's nurturing ministry in order to become a stronger community. So far, two members have stepped forward. That's wonderful. Thank you. But I need at least three or more candidates. So remember the wisdom saying, leaders are not born, leaders are made. Yes, you can be trained and you can serve God as small group leader. So who is qualified? Any Christian who loves God and people. No experience is needed, required. No age limit, but you got to be over 18 at least. Both women and men are welcomed. I will help you to be equipped with a series of initial and essential biblical resources, tools, and guidance. So far, yes. So right now, I'm hopeful that more people will be stepping forward. So keep it coming. The opportunity is still open and available. If you are excited about this leadership ministry opportunity through the small group ministry or have any further question, please contact me. When? Now. Number two, outreach. From this morning's gospel from Matthew, Jesus is telling us the parable of the sheep and the goat. The key verse would be verse 40. Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. One of the most important lessons from this parable is that we are to reach out to everyone and to treat everyone as if that person in need is Jesus. Yes, Jesus emphasized, you did it to me. Everyone in the world is God's beloved and precious child. Here we also remember the golden rule Jesus taught us. In everything, do Do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets from Matthew. Simply in Luke 6, Jesus commands us, do to others as you would have them do to you. Sadly and dangerously, we are living in such a brutal society. People are attacking, firing, and even killing other people because of their differences, such as races, appearances, cultures, political views, and different perspectives and opinions. People cannot stand or tolerate any kind of opposing expressions, even in this democratic, free society. We hope and pray that everyone remembers this golden rule and apply it in everyday life. Moreover, John Wesley also taught us the three simple rules in life. Number one, do no harm. Number two, do good. And number three, stay in love with God. Yes, we all remember these rules and always try to practice them in everyday life. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to love and serve God and people. We are called to reach out to people with God's love by treating them as if they are real Jesus. Our church is so blessed to have an amazing outreach committee that plans and coordinates a great deal of outreach programs, events, and projects in order to connect with the community and to share God's love with everyone. Number three, welcome. We are so blessed with our cheerful welcoming / hospitality team, welcoming everyone, not only all the existing members, but also guests and visiting families. And of course, our faith and fellowship team is doing a wonderful ministry of inviting everyone to fellowship always. Thanks to the outreach, welcoming, and faith and fellowship, and all other teams doing outreach and welcoming. However, welcoming is not limited to these certain specific ministry team leaders and team members only. No. But it's everyone's responsibility to welcome everyone. Yes, everyone in the congregation. We must create a welcoming environment where new people feel accepted and included, and regardless of a background and differences. We always aim to foster deeper connections and spiritual growth. So welcoming and embracing everyone is one of the keys to a stronger community. So I highly recommend that whenever you have a chance, such as passing the peace, not just 30 seconds, please. Longer time, right? Before and after the service or coffee fellowship time, if you see any new face, please welcome that person with your smile by introducing yourself first and then by getting to know that person, starting with his or her name. So I just suggest you wear your name tags every time you come and join the service and fellowship. Yes, we are all in this together as a church family. My sisters and brothers in Christ, we are called to do now, nurture, outreach, and welcome. When? Time? When? Now. Serving together through this now, we can engage in local service projects and outreach initiatives in strength to strengthen bonds and make a difference in the community. Learning and growing together through spiritual practices, including shared nurturing activities like Bible studies and prayer gatherings, always, always help us to deepen our collective faith. Next Sunday will be World Communion Sunday. we will be celebrating a worldwide Holy Communion along with all the brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. And I will be sharing with the conclusion of my sermon series, Life is Better Together. The title will be Relationships That Reflect Us Love. To be continued. Thanks be to God. Amen.